lovely day begins. For ghosts and ghouls with greenish skin. So close your eyes and you will find that you've arrived in Frightenstein. Perhaps the Count will find a way to make his monster work today. For if he solves this monster mania, he can return to Transylvania. So welcome where the sun won't shine, to the castle of Count Frightenstein.
Welcome to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, excuse me, and podcast at comicbookdaily.com. We are your hosts. I am Walter Duralia, joined as always by my illustrious co-host, Chris Owen, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College. Chris.
Walter, how are you today?
I blew the intro. How are you?
You really did. But you know what? I'm doing fantastic because today is, of course, Wednesday, our favorite day of the week. And the new comics will be coming out today. And this is obviously fantastic. Now, what's even better today is we do have our guest. And what's, we've been going on strong here. We've had guests for a few weeks in a row here. And today, our guest is a zombie extra extraordinaire, Mr. John Miore. He has appeared in numerous different zombie movies as, of course, a zombie, as well as doing extra work in other movies as well, but his claim to fame, his reason of being, is his becoming as a zombie
or unbeing, depending on your point of view.
So, John, welcome to the show. Hope glad to have you here.
Thanks.
All right, John, glad to have you here as well. And of course, John's going to participate with us in our show the way we normally do it, and we're going to start off like we do every week with new this week, and Chris is going to introduce the sponsor.
Well, you know, as of course you know, we have sponsors every week now, and new this week has been brought to you by Solomon Grundy's, the breakfast cereal for unlikable killers. Unkillable monsters.
You know, they can be unlikable as well. That makes sense.
Start your day off right with a big bowl of Solomon Grundy's. Our sponsors hate us, I'm sure.
Start your day off right by reading a damn thing properly. All right, listen, we're gonna start new this week. Today at your local comic book store, yes, walk in and you will find at any good store a copy of Famous Monsters of Filmland number 252. First of all, I did not know this magazine still existed.
Well, of course, this magazine was started by Forrest J. Ackerman, who is a big monster buff, big writing buff and horror and all that kind of stuff. And I had no idea that this magazine was still going. I'm sure, John, you must have read a few issues of this back in the day.
Oh, absolutely. It was one of my favorite magazines from back in the day. I still have some of my originals. And I got to tell you that it was under Forrest J. Ackerman for a long time, published by Worm Publishing.
Right.
Eventually, once the magazine stopped publishing, several years went by, came back under a man named Ray Ferry. It lasted for quite a bit longer, almost 10 years longer with Ray Ferry through the 90s, not quite 10 years. And recently, after some lawsuits have been settled, and now it's in the hands of Philip Kim, who started with issue 251 just very recently.
Oh, wow. So is the magazine basically a reincarnation of the old magazine that basically, what, visits horror movies from Hollywood and does photo shoots and articles about them? Is that what it does?
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of photos, lots of articles, especially based on, you know, the production of the movies and the special effects.
So is it possible that maybe we might see you in an issue of Famous Monsters of Finland?
You know, I really hope so. I've already been in a few issues of Fangoria.
Cool.
And Fangoria, you know, I love
of
that.
Of course, Fangoria is the better magazine.
Fangoria right? is like, well,
you know,
Fangoria
we'll have to
is
see,
the
I guess.
Gory magazine, right? Like for horror buffs, like in gore and all like that is the magazine, right? So it's that's awesome.
And Fangoria is, I mean, Famous Monsters is also engaging this new project where they're filling in for some reason. Famous Monsters back in the day, they got up to issue 69, then they jumped to issue 80, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
They suggested that it was because they needed to get a little closer to 100 faster for some reason. Oh. That Monster World issues counted as some of the missing issues.
Oh, right, right.
They had all kinds of strange.
That's a good business plan, right out of the Marvel book. Yeah. Business plan, you know? Oh, we're getting near 500, guys. Let's switch back to the old way.
If we combine all the She-Hulk issues, maybe it'll be 100. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, guys. Listen, let's continue with the Halloween theme. I want to talk about Zatanna number 6 hitting the stands today, written by Paul Dini. Zatanna is held captive by a demon this week. Now, Chris, I know that you're a DC fan.
I am a bit of a DC fan, of course.
Is Zatanna a good book?
Zatanna is a very good book, written by Paul Dini. Of course, Paul Dini was one of the major writers of the Batman animated series for a number of years and the Superman animated series. He also helped to co-create the Harley Quinn character, who is now a staple in the DC universe. He's a really strong writer. His writing is excellent, and you know, he teamed up with Bruce Timm a lot, and there was one issue called Batman Mad Love, which was sort of like the intro of Harley Quinn, and a great, great writer. He has a lot of great ideas, and his work on Zatanna so far has been really ingenious and new, and I'm really enjoying reading his stuff.
All right, good. All right, switching over to Marvel, Spider-Man versus Vampires, number one at your local comic shop today.
Well, you know, why not have Spider-Man battle vampires? I mean, now, John, I know that you're a Spider-Man fan as well. And who better to ask than, you know, has Spider-Man, obviously, he's fought vampires before. But what did he ever fight Tomb of Dracula? Like, I mean, is there some sort of weird Marvel team up or anything like that?
Yeah, it's in fact giant size Spider-Man number one is Spider-Man and Dracula.
Right. Okay. So him's fighting vampires is nothing new.
Oh,
then.
Morbius. Remember
Morbius, the living vampire.
Morbius is the kind of the first return to vampires in Marvel Comics after the Crow.
And right? That was issue 99?
101.
Right, okay.
You're
sorry.
Right, because Morbius was kind of like the litmus test, right?
And that right.
That went well, that's and right. then a year or two short, 2 years later, Tomb of Dracula came up.
Right.
That may be undervalued, people. Run, and pick that up somewhere.
One of my favorites.
Yeah. All right, now... okay, this is great because Chris and I talked about this last week or the week before, how we liked the themed. So it's Halloween, and the publishers are putting out these kind of Halloween themed things, which is a good thing because as a society, you know, my kids and John, I'm sure yours too, it's like they're all excited about Halloween right now, right?
Absolutely.
And so, and it's not just kids, you know, us as parents or adults or anybody, teenagers, they get excited about certain
Halloween-y things,
times of the year, and Halloween being one of them, Valentine's being another, and rather than perceiving it as like a cash cow or something like that. I honestly think it fills a demand, like you know, Hollywood releasing the scary movies at
for
this
sure,
time
yeah.
And I think Spider-Man versus Vampires is a great idea.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? I mean, before the show, we were talking about I hate to point him out as I like to do often, but you know, he was mistaken. He thought it was Spider-Man versus zombies, which you know what?
Got me a little more excited.
Yeah, you know, seriously, why not have a Spider-Man versus zombies comic? I think that'd be fantastic, especially if it was the Marvel zombies. Wouldn't it be great to have Spider-Man fighting like the zombie Captain America with the half the head missing and everything? And yeah, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, this time of year, you're right, man. You know what, Chris? I'm sure Marvel is listening.
Well, you know what? They should be.
And, they really and I'm sure next year when they come out with it, just send them an invoice.
What? They should be there. That's right. They should be sending me a check. You can make the check payable to Chris Owen, just to let you know. Okay.
All right, Chris. That is it this week. We've got a busy show with John for new this week. As always, please, please head into your local comic book retailer. Check out all the new this week's peruse and pick up stuff that you like.
All right, here we go. Here's a little Scooby-Doo.
Where are you? We got some work to do now. Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? We need some help from you now. Come on, Scooby-Doo, I see you. Pretending you got a sliver. You're not fooling me, cause I can see the way you shake and shiver. You know we got a mystery to solve, so Scooby-Doo,
excellent, Chris. Great song and a great, great segue into industry news.
How is that a segue at all into industry news?
Well, actually, this week it is because we have a lot of scary stuff to talk about.
Oh, and of course,
news.
You know, Scooby-Doo being a monster, kind of mystery type. All right,
So I got you that time.
Let me help you out there. Okay.
Right, all right. Chris, industry news. I'm going to start with you're familiar with the Runaways
series
from Marvel.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. By Brian K. Vaughan and Alfona. Yeah, it's a great series.
Great series. It actually sells really well in those digest forms.
Yeah, it's funny how that particular series, I mean, it kind of hooked into this sort of manga type readership where people are buying a lot of the manga books in this sort of like little digest novel kind of size format. It actually sold very, very well. The Runaways did when it was published in that format as sort of a mini trade paperback.
Right. And there was talk of a movie actually being made of it. Well, news is, I think this is from Bleeding Cool. It's Deadline. The website Deadline reports that the movie will be shot in 2012 release in 2013.
Okay.
Now, that would be a really good movie. That's the first thing when I read this. I go, that would be a really cool movie.
Absolutely.
So basically, the story is about a bunch of kids that every year their parents, you know, meet for a meeting.
Yes.
And, you know, since they were 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, they're always being lugged to this meeting.
Yep.
And I guess when they're teenagers, they start getting inquisitive and go, what are our parents?
What's going on here?
Why are they having a meeting? So they sneak in and they have a look and they discover that their parents are a league of supervillains.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And then they kind of hear that the kids are looking in and, of course, the kids take off and they're runaways.
And so then they're,
And it is a really, but, I mean, just above and beyond the premise being cool, really well written.
Oh, yeah.
Really well drawn.
Well, Brian K. Vaughan, actually, he's such a good writer that, in fact, he started, not only was he writing for Runaways and other comic books, but he was also one of the writers for the Lost TV series and all kinds of other shows and things like that. So, you know what? It's funny how people tend to think of comic books as sort of like a throwaway, you know, hey, you don't really need to know how to write in order to do these things. But you know what? The fact of the matter is that these are actual real writers that actually, you know, do real writing on shows and on comic books and all kinds of things, right? So it's not, even though it's a different medium and people think of it as being a children's thing still, you know what? It's it actually, people do have real writing credentials.
Absolutely right. And all the more reason to check out Runaways whenever you're in your local comic store. Chris, I feel terrible. I forgot to introduce our industry news sponsors.
Oh.
Our producer, Anthony, is going to dock my pay, I'm sure.
Okay, so
I'm going to interject.
Walt, can you please give us the industry news sponsor?
Yes. Industry news is brought to you by The Count. Whether you're counting to 1 or 1 million, why not get a little help from The Count?
Well, you know, you can always count on The Count.
All right. Whew. I feel better now. All right, Chris. November 4th.
Yes.
In Toronto at the Gladstone Hotel.
That's not this Thursday, but next Thursday, yes.
Yeah, at the Gladstone Hotel, which is located at 1214 Queen Street West in Toronto, is the Speakeasy event.
Yes. Now, what's really interesting about the Speakeasy event? Now, for those of you that aren't familiar about the Speakeasy event, occurs in Toronto once a year. And what happens is basically a whole bunch of creative type of people get together, and at least for comic books anyways, and they start producing all of their comic books, and they kind of showcase them in a couple rooms, and they get to talk about comics and their artwork, and all the artists get together and they showcase all of their art. Now, this is something that is sort of it's not like a comic book show because there's no dealers that are selling like comic books there. However, there will be I believe there's a representative from the Joe Shuster Awards. Mr. Kevin Boyd will be there selling comic book artwork to help support the Joe Shuster Awards ceremonies. And so he's got all kinds of original artwork from like Darwin Cook and Jeff Lemire and a whole bunch of other Canadian creators. But it's really great because as opposed to a comic book convention where there's all kinds of dealers and selling comics and stuff, this is strictly about the art. So it's kind of like an art gallery where you get to kind of go and showcase your art and talk to artists, and they're right there and just kind of check out everything.
So the artists are there. They're approachable, right? The artists are there to meet the public. Is that
sure?
The artists are there.
And so I've got.
They're not there to like sign and do sketches.
Not really. No, they're just sort of there to kind of like hang out and say hello to people and kind of, you know,
talk industry art. Shop and stuff.
And you know, there's all kinds of people there. For example, there's Gibson Quarter Illustration is going to be there. Marvin Law, Benjamin Rivers, Sarah Ennals, Marvin Mariano, Sean Bolden, William Brian McLean from Rooster Tree is going to be there. So there's all kinds of different people that are going to be there. So this is really a really fantastic thing. And as I said, Kevin Boyd is going to be there, and he's the executive director from the Joe Shuster Awards, and he's going to have covers and pages from different pieces of artwork from guys like Darwin Cook, Tom Grummett, Jeff Lemire, Francis Manipole, Michael Cho, Ramon Perez, and the list goes on and on and on and on. And the great thing about this is that it's actually free to get in. It doesn't cost anything to get in. There is a suggested donation that people would hope to, you know, maybe
of $100.
Yeah, a couple bucks or something.
Okay.
You know, nothing major. You know, in fact, the admission is suggested pay what you can, but the suggested amount is $4. Right.
Oh, that's
so
cheap.
You know what? To get a chance, it's at the Gladstone Hotel. It runs from 7 to 11 p.m. To get a chance to go out and spend $4 to check out some artwork and have, I think there's going to be drinks involved there as well. Why not?
I like the Gladstone Hotel because wasn't like Gladstone Duck one of the.
Gladstone published a lot of Disney comics in the last few years, too, right?
Who the hell is Gladstone
hold
Duck?
On. Back it up. Back it up.
Beep, beep, beep.
If you look back in the Disney
Gladstone Duck,
there's a character called Gladstone. I think it was a duck, and I believe Mr. Geppi, Steve Geppi, who is the guy that's very much into the who bought Gladstone and published through Gladstone, named the publishing company after this Disney character.
I can only believe you on this. I even though I am a comic book historian, I don't know for sure. But for those of you that do know the answer to this, I ask you to email us at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca or walt at bigbycomics.com. If you happen to know the answer to this, we will give you a no prize, and we'll let you know all about it on the air.
Right. We'll sign our email Stan Lee. All right. Let's move on. Guys, I don't know if you saw it, or JLA, Justice League of America.
Is that what the JLA stands for?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
Number 50.
I had no idea.
This is around on the internet. Number 50 has Lois Lane with a bare bum.
Oh!
Well.
Really?
Yeah.
That's risque.
Risque indeed. Now, like, it's Justice League. Here's the thing. Okay.
Here's the thing.
Justice League is the flagship kind of DC team title.
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't care. I mean, people think I'm an old whatever fuddy-duddy, but you know, Lois Lane shouldn't have a bare butt in Justice League number 50.
No, it should be an Action Comics.
Oh, jeez. That's hard. Yes.
I like the action part.
The action comics, yes. Or adventure. That's gone, though, right?
No, it's
not. No.
Back.
But, I mean, you know, this is like a cheap way to get publicity.
Sure.
And only really, really dumb radio shows will pick up on it and add to the flame.
Right, absolutely. So and I think that everybody should go out and try to buy a copy of this, JLA number 50.
JLA number 50.
So they can get the bare bum Lois Lane.
I mean, but guys, I mean, come on. Lois Lane, here okay. These are all our traditional characters that we know and love so well. I mean, next thing you know, they're going to put like Power Girl in a tight top.
Oh,
something.
wait, hold on a second here. That sounds fantastic. Oh. I mean, but you know what? Clearly, this is just a marketing gimmick, and it will work because people will go out and buy it just because Lois Lane has a bare bum on the cover.
Is it on the cover?
Is it on the issue?
No, it's
right?
On the inside.
And in the issue, I should say.
This
not
isn't
in the
Conan.
Cover.
This is
right.
But yeah. But what happens here is, I guess DC maybe. Well, obviously they're way smarter than we are, but. You know, they do this, and the internet picks up on
yeah.
it. Comic book websites pick on it. Comic book blogs pick up on it. Comic book podcasts pick up on it. We talk about it, and then people listening will say, oh, man, I'm going to check that out.
But, you know, here's the thing, is that it really – okay, if it is just a bum, right? Everybody's got one. For the most part, right? It has a function. I mean, everybody knows what one looks like.
And just remember, kids, probably written by a man, probably drawn by a man.
Yes.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
So really, is it that big of a deal is what I'm getting at?
It's a line that hadn't been crossed for 60 years.
Or are we making it a big deal? Really? I mean, it's just a bum.
But it's not just a bum. It's a line. It's a line in the sand.
Well,
it's a principle. It's a line in the sand that has been crossed.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's not just a bum.
Next thing,
Batman Schlong is going to be, you know, on the inside cover.
On,
and then we'll be
now,
talking
now,
about
hold,
that.
Well,
right?
Hold on. Now, it's not like bums haven't been appearing in other comic books for many years now, right? If it was anybody else,
always in like,
if it was anybody else's bum. Would it really matter if it was the bum drawn on the street, you know, or on a beach somewhere, but some no name person? It wouldn't matter. But now, because it's Lois Lane's bum, now all of a sudden it matters, right?
I don't know what to say.
I don't know. I'm trying to still figure out the on the street part.
I'm just saying it's possible. Somebody could be in a bikini or something like that, right?
All right.
You know, so I'm just saying that I don't think it's that big of a deal, and I think what's going to happen is that people are going to make a big deal out of it. I mean, I know I'll be buying my copy of it.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm just saying.
Yes.
That's what you were hoping it was the cover. You can frame that up real easy.
No, I know. He's just going to, you know, bend the comic with that page 7 or whatever. That'll be his cover right there. All right. Listen, you know, staying on Justice League 50, though, the controversy has not ended with Justice League 50. They went all out for Justice League 50, guys. They actually, apparently there was a cover submitted a couple months ago to DC that got rejected because there were the letters, what the hell were the letters? STFU. Kind of strategically
STFU.
STFU.
Okay.
Which I don't even know what it means, but I would imagine it shut the.
Right. Yeah.
And so then it got sent back. So, okay. You know, the editors say, no, we can't print
sure,
this.
Sure, yeah.
And you know, and then it got taken out by, and then, so the published, the solicited covers, and I believe in previews, had the letters in.
Oh, interesting.
But
so
printed.
So is the previews magazine now going to become worth something because
yeah,
it has, like, you know, an unpublished cover?
Probably, but there's been a rash of things like that with DC lately, and what's happening here? I want to know, Crispin, you guys, John, too, I mean, you guys went to a lot of shows. Are the artists doing? Obviously, they're doing this intentionally. But what's the motive here for these guys trying to sneak stuff
I
in?
I don't know if you remember, but back when Byrne was still doing Fantastic Four, there was a similar controversy over seeing the underside of the Invisible Woman's breast.
Yeah.
And at the time, the Comics Code still said you couldn't show the underside of a breast. You could show the cleavage, but you couldn't show the underside.
Right.
And John Byrne did that, and he thought it was real silly, and for whatever reason, I don't know, it ended up being published anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know if that created the same kind of furor as this. I don't know if you even remember that.
You know what? I don't recall that issue. I honestly don't. And maybe that says that it wasn't that big a deal, but I guess maybe today the technology with the internet, people jump on the internet, want to read their comic news.
Yeah,
that's a long time ago.
And this is all over the 3 or 4 or 5 top websites.
So now I guess that it's going to be published without the STFU on it.
Right.
So, I mean,
a month before, there was a Batman and Robin one with, in the background, it had the F-U-C-K in bricks.
And then that
got caught.
Well, it seems to me like, you know, artists are trying to put things in the background or whatever.
But they've always been doing that for years now. Always been trying to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I honestly think that DC knows that these things are going to be caught.
Yeah.
DC knows that websites are going to pick this up.
Oh, and
it's like that viral guerrilla advertising.
Yeah, it's going to create more controversy and create people who want to get these issues, right? For sure.
So that makes Chris, me, and you suckers.
Right. Well, of course, because now we're actually reporting on it, right?
Exactly. So, yeah. That's exactly my point. Yeah, yeah. All right, okay. Let's move it along because we want to talk to John about zombies.
All right. Well, listen, we've got some more music here.
We do.
This, of course, you know what? Halloween's coming up, so why not a little bit of Frankenstein by the Edgar Winter Group. Of course, the 10-minute version, so we're not going to play the whole thing, but we figured we'd play a couple minutes of it anyways. That was Edgar Winter Group by Frankenstein. And so John is going to introduce our next sponsor.
Yeah, that would be it.
That's it.
Part 2 of Industry News is brought to you by the Ghost Rider Candle Shop, serving New York's Flaming Skull candle needs since 1972.
Yes, great company. Guys, Walking Dead, of course, the show is about zombies. Walking Dead is airing October 31st on AMC. There's news out that Walking Dead, that Image Comics will be releasing the old Walking Dead episodes, the old Walking Dead comics, starting in January, one a week.
Cool, awesome, yeah. That's very cool.
At $2.99 each,
yep.
And this is totally aimed at the the fans of the show.
Right.
So a great kind of way for people to come back. Now, I mean, I would just recommend to those people just go grab the trades.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right? You know what? At $2.99 an issue every once a week, you might as well just pick up the trade and get all seven issues for the first trade and see if it's any good.
Right.
I mean, it's a fantastic read. I mean, obviously, if it's this good, and they wouldn't have made it into a TV show, right? Now, of course, this must hit home to John here, who is of course our zombie expert. Are you a Walking Dead fan?
I am. I think it's one of the best written comics out there.
Not only is it a zombie comic, but now you're saying it's one of the best written comics out there.
Yeah, I really do think that. There's great characterization, lots of surprises, things move along really quickly, characters die and are replaced, and you know, characters lose body parts and continue on in the story. Nice. I mean, it's amazing.
I hate when that happens.
I love it when it happens. If you're going to have a zombie comic, why wouldn't you want that? Really? Right. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Right. Hey, now, as part of this zombie thing, too, AMC is, they're staging I think it's 26-city worldwide zombie PR stunt. So in the big capitals of the world, you know, New York, Washington, and Chicago, and Athens, and Istanbul, and Madrid, and so on and so forth, they're dressing up people, like they're basically making up people into zombies and sending them to famous landmarks.
Oh, very cool!
And they're
very
having
cool.
Like they're filming zombies, you know. In front of the Washington Monument,
in front of the Eiffel Tower,
right? It's all part of the PR toward the big zombie.
I would love to see John dressed up as a zombie, you know, coming out of like you know George Washington's nose at Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, that'd be something.
I think it'd be really fun. You know, I think it'd be good. I think that would be really good.
Be really really good. That's excellent. Now, before we get into John, the segment of John, at Comic Book Daily, David Deep, who is a contributor there, he actually, I'm not supposed to say this, but he actually saw the first episode.
Well, you know, I've heard that there's a leaked version of this Walking Dead first episode on the air somewhere, the internet, I should say.
And without saying anything, he said it was fabulous. It was tremendous.
That's not what I thought you were going to say there with the F word, but you know.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, that's the one I thought you were going to say, yeah.
And so this bodes well for
absolutely. You know, it's going to be great. I think it's very good showing for not only for the comic book industry, but you know what? It's great for zombie fans and everybody out there. For sure. And of course, you know, why not get more into the whole Halloween spirit without a little bit of, you know, Count Chocula?
Don't be scared. I'm the super sweet monster with the super sweet new cereal, Count Chocula.
Bethel, here's the super sweet new cereal, Frankenberry.
But I've got chocolate sweeties for monstrous chocolate flavor.
Well, I've got berry flavored sweeties for monster strawberry flavor.
Count Chocula.
Frankenberry.
Hi.
Frankenberry.
Count Chocula.
Our feature segment is brought to you by Romero, the scent for zombies. If you are trying to track that special zombie girl with your putrid pheromones, try Romero, pour homme mort.
You know what? I noticed some, Chris, like the guests read these sponsors without mistake.
Yeah, they really do. They're much better at reading these things than we are.
Than we are. Yeah. All right. I think that solves our problem. We'll just get them reading them.
Have to have guests every week.
All right, John. We're very happy to have you on the show. We're excited to talk about all things zombies and your life as a zombie.
Right? Yeah, it's a second life, really, and goes great.
Now,
second undead life.
Yeah. Before that, though, I want to go back to the roots. Okay, you're a Hamilton guy. Now, you have a long history in comic books in Hamilton. Take us back to your early days, what you were doing in comics.
Now, do you mean working in comic shops, everything?
Yeah, working.
Okay. Hamilton Coin and Book back in 1976, first comic store I was working in a long time ago. 1979 to 83, Dreamland Comics, down on James North. You might remember me from there if you were collecting back then, if you were alive back then. I've put in a few days at Big B now and again.
Yeah, Silver Snail, too. You were Silver down at Snail. The Snail for a while.
Absolutely.
Okay. Excellent. All right. And then after that, though, you also went and you created your own character, The Grad. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, The Grad was a character I created just out of high school, kind of connected to my graduating year. And then eventually ended up in Lethargic Comics, published by Greg Hyland. Had a long history with Lethargic Comics, did a few self-published books myself. Yeah, cool. A lot of fun.
Yeah, cool. Greg has been on the show.
Yeah.
And he never mentioned you once, sorry.
That's okay.
Actually, well, he's asked to be on the show again. We'll have him on soon.
Right. Now, that's great. Now, okay, so you got to tell us, so how did this zombie thing start? Like,
Well, okay, hold on. I'm going to interject here for one second. Now, I've known John for probably like 30 years now, right? Like, you and I met when you worked down at Dreamland Comics, probably like in 1979 or something like that.
Absolutely.
And so John and I have been friends for a long, long time. And ever since I've known John, he's been a big fan of horror movies, and he's often referred to just everyday people as zombs, you know? So he was always talking about how the zombs are, you know, walking through the mall, or the zombs are over here, the zombs are going through the store.
That's,
you know,
true.
So he's always been a big fan of zombies in general. So, you know, I know that John... I think he's always been fascinated by zombies, and so I got to say that, you know, this must be like a dream come true for you to become something that you've always talked about for your entire life here, or at least as far as I've known you, right?
Yeah, I've been a fan of zombie movies for as long as I can remember, really. So getting a chance to be a zombie extra in a number of movies, it's been great.
Okay, so now how did this come about? Now, I know you started out being just an extra in films, and now were you lured by the chance of becoming a zombie first, or was it just like, hey, you know, I'm gonna be an extra in films, then all of a sudden chance came to be a zombie? Like, how did that work out?
Well, it kind of worked out that back around year 2000, went to see X-Men, and a number of my friends were in X-Men in a scene that was
filmed in Hamilton.
Filmed in downtown Hamilton, yep. That's right. And I looked and I said, why didn't I do that?
Right.
And then the following year, Sylvester Stallone was in town for the filming of Driven, and I was like, you know, I'm not going to miss this again. I'm a big Stallone fan.
Right, right.
I'm going to get involved in this. And I started doing a lot of background at that time for that reason.
Okay, cool. And then after that, you got a chance to be on a zombie film, or how did that work out?
Yeah, it was a few years later. My agent that's here in Hampton, Stonewall, gave me a call and just said, you know, Dawn of the Dead, what do you think? Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, what was funny is that there were people who weren't saying yes necessarily. There's a lot of excited people to do it, but, you know, it was a little gross, and not everybody was into it. So I got in there and did a number of days on that shoot. It was great.
Wow. You know, I zoned out there for a second thinking of Stallone in a zombie movie.
Yeah,
that would be awesome, yeah.
Yule, right? That'd be
great. Yo, Adrian, where's my brains?
now, I got something for you. Now, I read up on – I'm not a good zombie guy, but I've just been reading up on zombies. And apparently there are slow zombies and there are fast zombies.
Right.
What's the difference?
It depends on what movie you're watching. In the case of 28 Days Later, where there are fast zombies, they're not really zombies, they're infected people. In Dawn of the Dead, they had where the zombies were very, very quick to begin with. They eventually became slower as they started to, you know, decay. But when they first turned, if they didn't have too much of their musculature eaten up, they still had a lot of mobility.
As far as, you know, the movement goes, zombies, like, you know, they're always after brains. Is that sort of like a staple? Like, is that something that they're always doing? They're always wanting to eat other people's flesh?
They want to eat other people's flesh. It's, okay. It's really a particular series of movies where it's more the brains as the...
Okay, okay.
But that's become kind of famous over the years. And so, yeah. That's
okay.
What it is.
Now, you know, Chris mentioned that you like zombies from day one, and you've been in a lot of zombie movies. You know, you enjoy the zombie lore and all that kind of stuff. What is it about the zombie premise that has millions of people going to movies and, you know, people buying books and stuff. What is it about zombies that that makes them popular?
I think that people are really caught up in the idea of, you know, some kind of upcoming apocalypse. People almost want to see everything really go down the toilet in the absolute worst way it possibly could. Well, and what could be worse than your own neighbors turning on you and wanting to eat you?
Right on. Well, of course, I mean, this is nothing new, right? I mean, there's sort of disaster films, apocalyptic films have been showing from the 1950s, and, you know, this is nothing new. Now, as far as zombie movies, just zombie movies, do you have a favorite zombie movie? Is there one that you're like, man, you know what? I could watch this every day.
Yeah, I'd say the original Dawn of the Dead back from, I think, 1978. That's a spectacular film.
Now, that's the black and white one.
That's the one you're thinking of is Night of the Living Dead from the 1960s, 1967,
okay,
I think.
So Dawn of the Dead is which one?
Romero's first sequel.
Okay, is that the one that's in the mall?
Yes, it is.
Okay, right. Okay, and that's the one. That's actually my favorite one. That's I don't remember the names very well, but that's the one that it's got the Mexican guy in it.
That's right. That's a really small scene, but you're right.
But yeah,
Cheech Ramirez.
No? Cheech. But isn't there some? Doesn't somebody in that particular movie get? They go into like a blood pressure monitor or something like
that. That's right.
And they get stuck, and then of course all the zombies end up eating the person.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's my favorite one. Do you have any suggestions on anybody that aspiring to become a zombie actor? Do you have any ideas or anything that if somebody wanted to become an aspiring zombie?
Yeah, I'd say put a lot of effort in, but be really excited about what you're doing, because sometimes on sets you'll see people who are really into the, you know, sometimes we have to run, sometimes we have to lurk you or whatever doing.
Right.
And, you know, I think people think, well, we're in makeup and that'll do the trick. And it doesn't do the trick.
So
you really have to put your effort into
you
it.
You need to be like a method actor.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you got to be a hungry, hungry boy.
Like, right. You need to be a zombie even when they're not filming.
Nice.
Right? And,
nice.
And then the producer go, man, yes. Look at that guy.
He's into it.
That guy's a zombie.
Yeah,
right? I want him in my movie, you know, in the close-up.
But I mean, right? You know, now, John, like, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but, like, your enthusiasm for being a zombie has really landed you some, I don't want to say key roles, but, I mean, some good scenes on set.
Right.
Right?
So, absolutely.
Go ahead.
I remember John telling me about this once. Now, you got a close-up or something like that once by ad-libbing, so to speak, on camera, where you you and the zombie next to you decided, hey, let's do this instead of what was scripted. And then the producer, actually, their director, liked it.
Actually, the scene you're talking about wasn't from a zombie movie. That was from Skinwalkers. And they were laughing as we were filming the scene. We did a whole lot of ad-libbing, and it's not in the movie.
Aww. Now, hold on. I know.
Well, there goes that advice,
over.
Right?
Well, but
I look at you nowhere.
But hold on. Now, I know for a fact that because I saw it the other day in one of the zombie movies that you're in, there's a long scene of you really digging into somebody's corpse, and describe to me what was going on in your head at that time.
Well, I'll tell you, that's from the movie Survival of the Dead, and what we needed to do there was a character named Chuck, who we kind of ground, which is kind of, that makes sense, right? Chuck got
right.
Ground.
Yeah,
and,
nice. Like ground Chuck. Yeah,
it's
like
absolutely.
It, yeah.
So we had a scene where we had to knock him to the ground and basically tear him in half and eat him.
Nice.
And the way I got picked for that scene, they had two other people in the scene. One was the director of the documentary, and one was a famous website guy from a horror website, Dread Central.
Okay.
And the third person I got picked for the scene was me, and that was basically because when they said we're filming an eating scene, I was jumping up and down in the back of the row going, ooh, over here.
Nice. Now,
I picked out of the crowd.
What's the tastiest part of an entrail?
Wow. I can tell you, it all tastes like kind of rubbery.
Like chicken?
Like rubber.
Like rubber?
Not chicken, sorry. And right. But the blood is sweet and a little spicy.
Oh. Now, nice. that must be the corn syrup. Now, John, I know this has sort of started out for you as something that you just enjoy doing for yourself. And now this is sort of snowballing into, I don't want to say something bigger, but, you know, and you've been in like a number of.
Say it, Chris, say it.
Yeah, you've been in like five zombie movies or something like that now.
Yeah, that's right.
So you've been in five zombie movies, and not only have you been in these movies, but now you're being asked to go to conventions to you know, represent the zombie community at these shows, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, here's the thing. Let's all put it into proper perspective, right? It's still background work. It's a lot of fun.
For
I'm
now,
enjoying
John,
it.
For now. You could become the zombie extraordinary.
Like, I certainly would like to.
Yeah,
that would be something.
You never know.
But the one thing that really makes the zombie movies that much more fun than any other background is, you know, a lot of background, well, there's me milling about.
Right.
And there's there's me kind of walking behind the star there. Or you can be in a movie where, well, there's me eating someone. There's me chasing someone and hoping to, you know, knock them to the ground and kill them.
And eat them.
It's a lot more exciting as a background person to do those kind of things.
Now, name drop a little bit for a second here. You shared the scene with a couple of Hollywood, stars, as you like to say.
Fleetingly, like for a few seconds, absolutely.
Right. That's fleetingly is better than nothing at all.
I had a nice little scene in Behind Stallone and Driven, which was nice. I was a paparazzi photographer in Man of the Year with Robin Williams. That was cool. And any number of other things. I was in Zoom. I don't know if there was a comic
that's
of that,
the, that's
right?
The one with the guy from the Home Improvement.
That's right.
What's the name? Tim?
Tim
Leary.
Tim Allen. Our engineer.
And Chevy Chase was in it.
Oh, right.
So I got a few scenes with them, which was nice.
Is that the one with Linda Carter? Was in that too?
No, you're thinking of Sky High.
Oh, there was two movies that came out with a comic booky kind of thing.
Yeah, that was the other one.
Yeah, Linda Carter fan. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Chris. Listen, we got a few more things to ask John about zombies, but this is heavy, heavy stuff here. Maybe you can, lighten the mood a little bit with some music.
Sure. You know what? Let's give everybody a little bit of Werewolves of London.
That, of course, was the Bee Gees doing Werewolves of London.
I'm pretty sure that wasn't the Bee Gees.
Oh, it wasn't the Bee Gees?
No, I'm pretty sure it was not.
All right.
I believe that was Warren Zevon.
Warren Zevon.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. We'll get back to John here. John, now,
Chris mentioned that you were in 5 zombie movies.
Absolutely.
Right. Now, do you recall, do you have in your memory the name of these 5 movies?
Do I ever. The first one was the Dawn of the Dead remake. Okay. Great to be in the remake, considering I love the original so much.
Yeah, for sure.
Resident Evil Apocalypse. So it was great to be in one that relates to one of my favorite video games. The third one was George Romero's Land of the Dead, which I thought was kind of a high point because you get to be in a Romero movie.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Which was unbelievably followed up with another Romero movie, Survival of the Dead, where I got, you know, probably the best scene that I've had in a zombie movie so far.
Cool. Which was the
scene where we tear Chuck in half, of course.
Oh, nice. Right.
Absolutely.
Ground Chuck.
That was something.
Right.
And then, just a weekend or so ago, I was in Zombie Apocalypse Redemption, which was filming in Michigan, and the premiere for that will be in February.
So now you drove down to Michigan just to be in this zombie movie.
Oh, absolutely.
So absolutely. The premiere is in February. Like, does it get a premiere like at Cannes or something like that?
I think it's going to be a local Michigan premiere for some reason.
Unless you mean
like a Comic-Con.
Yeah, I can't see like Cannes in France.
Now, hold on. Do you get to go to the premiere?
Yeah, we eat France.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Do you get to go to the premiere?
Or? Yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to going to the premiere.
Excellent. Can zombies find truffles?
Wow. Well, there is a game called Plants vs. Zombies, so my guess is that yes.
Oh.
How's that?
All right. Excellent.
Now, hold on. Now, John, you went to Indianapolis to be in the Indianapolis to be in a horror convention.
Yes, enunciate.
Horror
get
convention.
That right.
Yes, horror as in Halloween horror. Now you were invited to be part of this because of your proficiency in as being a zombie.
Well, and I should tell you, once again, it was one of those things where I wrote them and asked if they wanted to include me, and I was really surprised, in fact, that they said yes.
Okay.
It was great to be part of it. It was the first new Famous Monsters of Filmland convention.
Oh,
and
okay.
It went with the premiere of issue 251
right.
at the time. And there was a zombie room with all kinds of zombie guests from so many different movies. And to be put in there with so many people that, as far as I'm concerned, were like complete heroes.
Right, right.
It was really something.
Now, hold on. Now, I know, like, I go to Pittsburgh almost every year for the Pittsburgh convention, and they have the Pittsburgh walk because they've got, you know, that's where Dawn of the Dead was filmed. And so, is this a show that you're going to plan on doing? Like, I mean, could I go and get your autograph at the Pittsburgh convention every one of these years? Or
wow.
are you going to do more shows?
I would love to do more shows. It's something that I have to start actively seeking out a little more. I decided, after the Famous Monsters show, I really decided, you know, I really should seek this stuff out.
Sure.
Because that convention was incredible fun, more fun than many conventions I've ever been
cool.
to.
Cool.
So at this Indianapolis show, you're with other guys that have been that have appeared in zombie movies as well. Like, do you guys hang out? Do you talk shop? Like, do you go eat together and that
well,
kind
yeah,
of stuff?
I mean, or, do you guys talk about? Okay,
you know,
so,
do you eat wrong
so
meat?
Yeah. Like, what's your motivation when you're trying to eat the leg of someone?
Yeah.
No, not a lot of that going
no?
on.
Oh,
but
no?
You know what? Certainly
it's more like Chris. Man, I can't believe I'm sitting here.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
Right.
But, you know, what was great was, especially there were a number of zombies from the original Dawn of the Dead there.
Oh, right, right.
And they were very inclusive with me, came over to the table, were joking around. I was over at their table talking, exchanged pictures. What do you want with my picture? I don't know. But it was a lot of fun and really inclusive, which was great.
Now, when you're filming zombie movies, are zombies predominantly males, or are there a lot? Is it a 50-50 thing? Are there a lot of girl zombies, or how's that work?
Yeah, there definitely has to be a real equal amount because, I mean, we're zombies are supposed to be just everyday people who've died.
Right,
so
right, right.
Even in zombie apocalypse but, redemption that we were in, there were a lot of kids. I was surprised how many kids were on the
cool
set.
How cool would that be, right?
That's always extra creepy.
Right, yeah. Now, hey, son, we got nothing to do today. Come with me.
Now, one of the things I always thought was really cool was when, because, you know, it's always, you see all these zombies and, you know, when they're just as, like, regular folk, that's one thing. But I always thought it was interesting when you'd have all these zombies dressed as, like, you know, professions, I'll call it. So, like, you know, you'd have, like, the nurse zombie or, like, the pilot zombie or, you know, all those kind of really, because you're like, yeah, I guess, I mean, if
those are two kind of fetish zombies there. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I got to tell you, they were both in Indianapolis. Well, not the pilot. There was, the nurse zombie was, from Dawn of the Dead, was in Indianapolis.
Right?
She was great. And helicopter zombie, who has the top of his head cut off by a helicopter. He was there.
Nice.
Machete zombie, who Tom Savini hits in the head with a machete. He was there. It was and of course you can't forget Hare Krishna zombie.
Well, yeah, of course, right, right.
He was there.
Of course,
too.
Yeah.
You see all those kind of weird, sort of like, you know, sub genre zombies, right? Like, you know,
and they've carved a niche for themselves in the zombie world, which is great. Now, John, any like we're running out of time. I don't know how we do this, but we just have so much to talk about that we run out of time. Now, are there any other zombie things for you on the horizon? Are there, you know, what are the zombie gigs?
Yeah,
that you have going on?
When are you
going
to be undead again?
Yeah, well, what's
you
going
know,
on?
It was only 2 weeks ago, and the next time just can't be soon enough. They are going to be filming in the next short while Escape of the Living Dead somewhere, I think also in the Michigan area. I'm not in there at this point.
Is that a new George Romero film?
No, it's a John Russo film.
Oh, yeah. John Russo, he's the guy that wrote the story for The Living Dead, right?
Right. Okay, so Romero and Russo did the original Night of the Living Dead, and then Russo went on with his own sequels. He did all the Return of the Living Dead movies that everyone knows so well.
Okay, right. Okay.
So I don't have a part in that movie. I haven't even really talked to anyone except for Russo himself at the famous Monsters Convention.
Hold on. You just said you just talked to Russo himself. So you talked to the guy that created that wrote the stories behind the whole zombie genre.
Oh, yes. He was at the con.
And now, what was that like?
It was great. I mean, talking with everyone that was involved with all of those movies, there were five or six different people from the original Night of the Living Dead at that con. There was a number of people from Dawn of the Dead at the con. So it was, you know, it was like facing so many of your heroes and all of them really coming through and being incredibly nice. You know, you can't really ask for more.
Are you now part of, like, this little zombie community that, you know, like, hey, yeah, I remember when you ate the heart out of that zombie, that guy over there. Like, you know, is it a tight-knit community?
I got to tell you, I don't think I'm in there and part of the community yet. I'd love to be.
Right.
I'd like to do a lot more cons. I'd like to do, you know, some more movies. And hopefully I could become part of it because they're incredibly... really nice people.
Okay, very quickly. Only got a couple minutes left here, but I got to say that before the show started, John was telling me that you know he had a chance to be part of this recent monster zombie movie, and he was wearing the same outfit as he was in one of the other shows. Tell me a little bit about that very quickly.
Well, in Survival of the Dead, I had one particular costume, I guess, that I was wearing as a zombie. And because Zombie Apocalypse Redemption, we were to bring our own clothes, I thought it would be kind of cool to look the same as I did in Survival of the Dead.
So it's almost like it's the same person, same zombie, same everything.
Right. Perfect. Without breaking any copyright laws, hopefully.
Yeah.
But I definitely did that.
It'd be like Rainbow Man at the old baseball games, you know. Hey, there he is.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah, like, same
where's,
guy.
Where's Waldo?
Where's John?
Where's John?
Where's John the zombie?
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, well, listen, I know you're going to get into this next zombie movie. If it's any kind of zombie movie, this is the vibe I've got from the show. If it can be called a zombie movie, you will be in it.
That would be good.
Right? And anyway, I don't know how, Chris, but I think we're out of time.
Yeah, and you know, unfortunately, once again, we are out of time. Once again, please, if you do enjoy the show, please write to us at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca or walt@bigbcomics.com. please let us know how you enjoy the show. Walt's shaking his head because, you know, I almost screwed up our email again, but I didn't. But you know what?
Almost.
Close only counts for horseshoes and grenades. But please go out and support your local comic book retailers and have yourself a wonderful day. John, any last words of zombie wisdom?
Any last words of zombie words, John?
Saturday's the Hamilton Zombie Walk. Why don't you all come on down to Gore Park around 2 o'clock, I think, and take part.
Gore Park, downtown Hamilton, 2 o'clock, Saturday, October the 30th, Zombie Walk.
Dress as a zombie, be there or be square. Have yourself a wonderful day, and take care. Go out and read some comics.
All right, see everyone next week, and head out to your local comic retailer and support them, please.